Welcome to the wisdom and wit of Father Matthew Guckin. Over the years, Father Matthew Guckin has produced many wonderful teaching series, and we are delighted to showcase a number of them for you. On today's show, an episode from his series on the Gospel of St. John. Here's Father Guckin.
Hi, everyone. I'm Father Matthew Guckin, the pastor of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Catholic Church in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And I'm very happy to present our series on the four Gospels, beginning with the Gospel according to St. John, which happens to be the fourth Gospel. St. John was the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, as his Gospel tells us. St. John also authored five of the 27 books in the New Testament. It is John, the youngest of the apostles, who gives us great insight, unique insight, because of his closeness with our Lord, into the heart and mind of Jesus, who is the Word made flesh. We're so glad that you're with us, and we look forward to spending this time with you. Today, the first segment of my series will begin with the prologue with our host, Dave Parker. So it's very good to be with all of you, and Dave, it's nice to be with you.
It's nice to be with you, Father Guckin. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's been a couple of weeks since I've seen you.
Yeah. Well, I'm at church every Sunday, so I don't know about you.
I am, but a different church.
Yeah. Touche.
There we go.
Touche.
There we go. How was your Easter?
It was great. It was busy. We brought in 13 people into the church.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
At the Easter Vigil. So I'm very, very pleased to do that. Now we're in this mystagogia period, mm-hmm. living out the mm-hmm. gospel and what that looks like. But, you know, somebody on the way drive over here today with two parishioners I was speaking with, Frank and Pat Johnston, and they've been friends of mine since I stepped foot on the campus of Mount Carmel, and they asked how I'm doing. And I said, Frank and Pat, I have never been happier in my 24 years as a Catholic priest as I am right now.
Wow.
I just love our parish. I love being a priest and love sitting here with you today talking about the fourth gospel.
Well, thank you, Father Matt. May I call you Matt or do you prefer Matthew?
It doesn't matter. Either okay. one, you know, I would just say either one I'm fine with. It's great. Thanks.
Okay. I'm so pleased to hear that you are happiest.
That I've been since I've been a priest, without
yeah,
question.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate that.
So where do you want to go from here? How do you want to start this off?
Well, I think, you know, as we're beginning this, just a little note. When my mom was happy with me, it was Matt. When I was in trouble for something, it was Matthew. So I'm listening to you through that lens. But I just think before we get, I think, too deep into mm-hmm. this Gospel of St. John's, I thought I would begin by talking a little bit about the author and the book itself. So in other words, before we get into chapter one, which begins with the prologue to his Gospel, I thought it'd be best if we just sort of flew at 30,000 feet a little bit. So if I can just say this about the evangelist named John, several times in his Gospel, he describes himself really as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So we find him resting his head on our Lord's chest at the Last Supper. He does seem to have a more intimate knowledge of the heart of the Sacred Heart of Jesus than the others do. When you look at his Gospel, for example, as opposed to the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's very distinctive. Mm-hmm. So the others are called the synoptic gospels, and that means they see things basically through the same lens or through the same eye. John is something altogether different. What we know about John is that he is from the shore town of Bethsaida, the son of Zebedee and Salome, and the brother of James. One of the things I find interesting about his Gospel is, as time has gone on since he wrote his Gospel, you'll see him symbolized with the eagle, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we have, what do we have? The ox, which is Luke, and that's it's a beast of burden. So Luke tends to focus on the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you look at Mark, he is symbolized by a man. He tends to emphasize more than the others the humanity? Well, John of Jesus. Well, John is symbolized by the eagle, you know, and the eagle soars higher than other birds. So John is his gospel is a soaring one. Mm-hmm. The other thing too is, and this is what I was taught. I don't know if this is true. The eagle's the only animal that can look directly into the sun and not be bedazzled by it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like symbolically, mm-hmm. that yes. John looks right into the divinity mm-hmm. of Christ. So some other things just I think we should know about this. You find in John's gospel way more than the others this series of I am statements, like I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life. Mm-hmm. And then he says in the eighth chapter of his Jesus says in the eighth chapter of his gospel, I am. And of course that harkens back to Moses and the burning bush. When Moses asks his name, mm-hmm. God says, I am. You know, I am the one who always was. I am the one who's present now. I am the one who always will be present. Well, Jesus is identifying himself as God by mm-hmm. Through the series of I am statements. And so, you know, throughout, and I'll do my best to point this out as the series continues, you see other themes like Christ identifying himself as the Messiah. There's this distinction between light and darkness that we see, especially in the beginning part of his gospel, and then again toward the end, which is very typical of John's literature. John's interesting in many ways, but one of the ways is there's only 27 books in the New Testament, mm-hmm. and John is responsible for the authorship of 5 of them. So, and you'll see it in his, so he writes the book of Revelation, which we're going through now in the Office of Readings throughout the Easter season with that apocalyptic, the great apocalyptic, easy for me to say, imagery. But then we see it in his 3 epistles. Like, John really draws a line in the sand. Either you're with me or you're against me, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to, say, the language of politicians, which is, well, why can't we all just get along, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. John, that's not typical of John's writing.
Yes, it's decision time, folks.
Yeah, like, and there does come. It's a time for choosing, right?
Exactly,
right?
Exactly, Father Matt. That was an excellent
thank you.
Prelude, if you will.
Thank you. So how about if we jump in, Dave, if you can just read as we begin John's Gospel with the prologue, which, by the way, is verses 1 through 17 of the... Mm-hmm. So read along with us at home.
The Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. John bore witness to him and cried, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, for he was before me.' And from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace.
Grace.
For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He has made him known."
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. So there's a lot going on there. And I think, you know, to our typical 21st century sensibilities, it's enough to turn you off initially, because there's so much, I guess, what we would consider, let me put it this way. It's we're not familiar with this, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on, the Word became flesh. It's like, wow, that's a lot. But but I'm just going to try to unpack that, you know, a little bit. First of all, he begins with those three words, in the beginning. So right off the bat, what John is doing is he's hearkening back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, in the beginning. Okay, and what John is thus doing is, whereas that was the story of creation, this is the story of recreation. Recreation in Christ. And that should alone, Dave, should be very appealing because we've all fallen, right? And in modernity, you know, let's reinvent ourselves. Well, we want God to sort of not reinvent us, but recreate us and make us new again. And so that is with Christ. And Paul will later go on to say, it is no longer I who live. It's Christ living in me. He also goes on to say, I have become a new creation. And that should be exciting for all of us who have fallen, who have sinned. So right off the bat, this is what John is doing.
Well, I was going to ask you to expand on that recreation part, and you did very well, Father Matt.
Okay.
And yes, we should all get to the point and want to be to the point where we are remade his image.
Yeah, and just think of it like this. Like if you're running a business like Holy Spirit Radio or whatever the case may be, like you're done as soon as you say, we've made it. We've arrived, right?
I mean, absolutely.
No, you should always be looking to advance the institution. We should always be striving. The great British poet Robert Browning said, Our reach should always exceed its grasp, or what's a heaven for? Like, always striving, always reaching. So if we think at any point, well, I'm all right, I'm doing okay, then we're dead.
Yeah,
I would
game
argue.
Over.
Game over. But then he transitions into this, you know, after in the beginning was what? Was the Word. And so there's no Christmas story here, right? Mm-hmm. There's no wise men. There's no innkeeper. There's no cave, no stable, no manger. So what gives? Okay, John is the eagle. Mm-hmm. He is soaring above the others, and he's looking like right away, directly into the eternal Son of God. And so he gets into this. So he refers to Jesus, not as Jesus, not as the infant lying in a cradle, right? Mm-hmm. Rather mysteriously, he refers to him as the Word. And there's something going on here that's really cool, because such a description is appealing to both a Jewish audience and a Greek audience, a Hellenistic audience. And so for the Jewish mind, the Old Testament is full of the power of words. And so going back to that story of creation, for example, at every stage of creation, we read these words, and God said, right? Mm-hmm. And so the Word of God is the creating power of God. So the Word, which was so powerful to the Hebrew people, has now become enfleshed. But as I said, it doesn't just appeal to a Hebrew sensibility. It also appeals to the Greek mind. Now, that's important because the Greeks would have been unfamiliar with Jewish scriptures, right? They were familiar with their philosophers like Plato and Socrates and Aristotle. But the Word has an altogether different meaning. One of their philosophers, I forget his name, he looked at nature and determined that while everything is constantly changing, there is nevertheless a sense of order to creation. And so, for example, water moves from one end of a river to another. Weather becomes hot, weather becomes cold. People are being born, people are dying. So everything is in this constant state of flux. But it's somehow held together. It's still, there's an order to creation. And I can't think of his name. He noticed that where there should be chaos because of all the change, there's instead order, there's pattern, there's form. And so the Greeks believed that the thing which controls such pattern and order and form was the logos, that is the logic. And in English, we call that the Word. And so to the Greek audience, John was saying that this logic, this Word, has become enfleshed. And so to the Greeks and to the Jews, right from the beginning, John is emphasizing, and this is important, that this is something altogether different, that Jesus Christ is divine. And to miss this is to miss the entire point of Christianity, right? That Christ isn't like, he's not Buddha, he's not a prophet, like say Muhammad, he is God. Right, and so mm-hmm. C.S. Lewis, for example, has that great whatever that's called in whatever word is used to describe it. Jesus is one of three things: he is a liar, mm-hmm. a lunatic, or Lord. He can't be all three. Mm-hmm. If he's a liar, don't believe him. If
Precisely.
He's a lunatic, get him the best, mm-hmm. get him into the best mental hospital in all of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But if he is Lord, we bow down and we worship him.
Amen, Father Matt.
Okay, so I would just, I think that's important to sort of understand, mm-hmm. Dave, what's meant by the word. I know he goes on to describe Christ as the life and the light, you know, that Jesus gives life. His way that he maps out for us brings joy, but he's also the light of all people. That's right there in that prologue as well. And let's be honest, the world's a very dark place. It's sinful and it's patterned with loneliness. However, Christ has come to destroy sin and draw us back into community with others. Okay?
Okay. Father Matt, how about if I go on and finish the rest of the chapter?
Let it rip.
Okay. Thank you. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed. He did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said to him then, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know, even he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." This took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, for he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend as a dove from heaven, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following, and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So, you are Simon, the son of John? You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
Okay, so here we have the next John who's introduced. It's John the Baptist who's baptizing in the Jordan River. And as he's baptizing, Dave, he spots Christ. And he reaches back into the Jewish heritage of symbol and prophecy, which was known to everyone who was here. And he says, Behold the Lamb of God. And this is important because by so doing, right, John is telling us that we don't look for a teacher. We don't look for a giver of moral precepts. We don't even look for a miracle worker. Instead, we look for the one who had been appointed as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. That's what sets Christ apart, that he's not just a great teacher. Though he is. He's not just a great giver of moral precepts, though he is, or a worker of miracles, and he continues to work miracles, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not his role. His role is as our Savior to be sacrificed for our sins. After describing who Jesus is, that he's divine, that he's the Lamb to be sacrificed, now the table is set and disciples are ready to be called. One of the beautiful things about John is that he is without jealousy. So he doesn't try to, like, keep Christ to himself, but he's come to attach others to Christ. And so the Baptist's own disciples, Andrew and John the Evangelist, they watched John the Baptist point at Jesus. They heard him say, Behold the Lamb of God. And then Jesus speaks his first words in this gospel, and he says, What are you looking for? I think it's the question, Dave, that every person asks in every action of ours. We're implicitly asking this question. And basically, what are we all looking for? We're all looking for love. Jesus' first words, what are you looking for? His next words are, come and see. And I think it's the call for all those who wish to follow Christ. Jesus doesn't tell them his code of morality, doesn't make any promises, doesn't argue with them to prove who he is. He just says, what are you looking for? Come and see. So then Andrew comes along with his brother Simon to Jesus, and immediately Jesus transforms him into Peter, into the rock. And then Jesus heads north to Galilee, where he calls Philip. Philip goes to fetch Nathanael, who's skeptical. Nathanael, also known as Bartholomew, he's skeptical because Nazareth is not the most distinguished place in the world. But despite his prejudice, Jesus knows that Nathanael's a good man, and Nathanael, his encounter with Christ transforms him too. And then Nathanael becomes the first apostle to make an explicit confession that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen, Father Matt.
I'm very much looking forward to drilling down deep in the chapter 2 at the wedding at Cana, the first miracle of Christ. And really, Dave, it's where the Blessed Mother pronounces a sentence of death over Christ. So I'm very much looking forward to talking about that.
So am I, Father Matt. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel of St. John with Father Matthew Guckin on Holy Spirit Radio.